All right. Welcome, 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 everyone. Ladies and gentlemen and everyone in between, this is Tony's Political Ramblings, episode 22. So this is something I haven't done before. This is a direct response, a sort of live reaction, if you will, to news that is just coming out as I'm sitting down to record this. And this is the news of the bipartisan infrastructure deal that was reached in the U.S. Senate here, and between the White House and the Senate, I suppose, for a $1.2 trillion infrastructure plan that would take place over the course of the next 8 years. So to me, this is a promising development because it represents a sort of what I'm going to call a return to form, which is a bipartisan agreement on a large infrastructure deal, on a large deal that has been debated fiercely. If you look at something like this, I mean, you know, this is not something we're used to seeing. I think the initial Biden plan was somewhere around $2 trillion, and Republicans countered at somewhere in the billions, like $300 billion, something like that. You know, it's a paltry sum compared to what Biden was willing to spend on this over 8 years. And now they've met in the middle, right? This is exactly what we always ask for, right? Whenever you get in a conversation with anybody about politics in the United States, it's like, well, I wish they would just come together and compromise more. And here we are. And now, again, this is infrastructure. So this is something that, while this particular bill has been debated, infrastructure is relatively a universal issue and something that is pretty easy for people to come together on. It's, you know, as really the issues with this one came in with how much money they were going to spend and how they were going to pay for it, which brings me to what is involved in this bill that just got endorsed by President Biden. And so it's going to have, and this is his words I'll use here, it's the largest investment in passenger rail since the creation of Amtrak, and it's the largest investment in public transit in American history, and that's huge. If you've listened to my other podcast on reimagining transportation, you will know that I am quite a big fan of public transportation and its potential to create a greener, more streamlined future for us as a country. And so in addition to that, we have large investments in broadband, the electrical grid, like I mentioned, public transit, roads, bridges, et cetera, et cetera. And so this is a big bill. This is a great thing to get things rolling. It's going to create jobs in constructing all of these things, building all of these things, and these big massive infrastructure projects that will take years. So that's years of steady employment for construction workers working on these projects. And so that's great. You know, I mean, this is really a promising step. Cons, however, things that I just noticed on a quick search through a few news articles on this, is that there were a few things that were cut from this. Most notably, it's going to be the funding of it. Originally, this was going to be partially funded by increasing taxes, and you know, a lot of the Republican senators weren't really down for that because they did not want to restructure the infrastructure bill, or not the infrastructure, excuse me, the Trump era tax cuts, and that was something that was going to be tinkered with in this bill, but it never came around because of the Republicans. And while I personally am not thrilled with those Trump era tax cuts being kept in place, I'm not overly upset about that. And I'll tell you why. Because if you look at the Senate as it stands right now, as it stands, there are 50 Democrats and 50 Republicans in it. And so, as much as I tend to side with Democrats on a number of issues, there are 50 senators representing representing by population a little bit less, certainly, but in the rule of the Senate, how that works, you have about half of the country being represented by Republicans, and you have to consider those viewpoints, and you have to do it. You have to make laws that will make those people happy and feel like they're being represented. And that's the whole point of bipartisanship and compromise, and it's just really nice to see this again on such a big blockbuster deal like this infrastructure bill. So in addition to that, we're going to get to some of the cuts that I'm really not too terribly happy about and the potential upside that exists here. In addition to that, we saw elder care being cut from the bill, affordable housing being cut from the bill, and electric vehicle subsidies being either reduced or cut entirely. I'm not entirely sure. And so I'm personally, again, really not thrilled with that piece of it. And on principle, I agree with what I just said in terms of the tax cuts. Like, yes, we have another half of the country to consider when making laws like this. But I'm still personally not a fan of it. I would much rather us have used money from wealthy individuals to pay for this than COVID relief money, which is what we ended up using. But in principle, yes, I'm happy with the bipartisan nature of this deal. But if you are a more left-leaning individual, a Democrat, liberal, however you identify, I would not exactly worry about this, about what was omitted from this initial bill, the bipartisan one, because there's sort of a little sneaky backdoor maneuver that's being used to get those things passed anyway. And they're going to use there's going to be a companion bill, basically, that will be passed through reconciliation, which is basically a specific legislative process that Senate can use to pass things on an economic basis, I want to say, and a couple of other types of bills that can be passed using this method. But it's only a couple of different types, and they can only use it a few different times. So it's limited in how many times you can use this. You may remember earlier this year that reconciliation was used to pass the American Rescue Plan, as zero Republican senators had agreed to sign on to that. And so you have a lot of the more centrist, more conservative Democrats, Manchin, for example, and Kyrsten Sinema. I believe I'm saying that right. They're two more conservative Democrats who typically aren't ones to jump on this sort of thing. They have already said that they're open to running a reconciliation bill that will basically pick up all of the pieces that did not make it into this initial bill and make it a bill in of itself, pass it through reconciliation, no need for bipartisan support there. So in my eyes, as far as I can understand this right now, this is a big win. If you're Biden, if you're a Democrat, or if you're just an American citizen in general, this typically tends to work out for people like this. Government spending in construction and infrastructure typically tends to benefit pretty much anyone. So this is a big win for everyone involved. I suppose the only exception would be maybe some of the Republican senators and representatives who don't get on board with this bill or the reconciliation one. Because this investment in American infrastructure, in American jobs, and in the American people is going to help propel us as a country. This will start to propel us towards a level and quality of infrastructure that can at least start to be getting in the same conversation with nations like Germany, nations like Japan, Canada. And there are a couple of areas where the United States is behind a lot of other developed nations, and infrastructure is one of them. And so today, we took a big step in improving our infrastructure and getting to that level where we can match our international peers.